The greatest superheroes come to the Mohegan Sun August 18th to the 20th. Terrificon, Connecticut's number one Comic-Con, returns. Meet actors from the Game of Thrones, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Stranger Things. Plus a special tribute to TV's Adam West, Batman. Artists from Marvel and DC Comics. The Batmobile, the Batboat, even the Batcopter. It's Terrificon, Connecticut's Terrific Comic-Con. Mohegan Sun, August 18th to the 20th. Tickets at the Mohegan Sun box office or Ticketmaster.com. See more at Terrificon.com.
Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Power Cosmic. I am your very sick host, Mitchell A.S. Halleck, producer of the world's greatest Comic-Con, Terrificon, coming every August to the Mohegan Sun right here in Connecticut. Ask for it by name. Accept no substitutes. There's many cons out there, but there's only one terrific one. Terrificon. Now, joining me every week from the Rain and Flea Market, booth A89 and 90, you know him, you love him, the author of many articles that appear in magazines like Back Issue, Alter Ego, and the Jack Kirby Collector, the man who can find anything you once had as a kid and will bring it back to you in pristine mint condition for a song. Ladies and gentlemen, sit down, wake the neighbors, it is time to speak to John.
Hello, Terrificon fans.
I'm a little under the weather today, John. A lot of stress as we get into the final month before the show. So I'm not my typical Mitchy self. The Twinkies aren't working.
Just switch to cupcakes then, Mitchy.
I have not shaved in 3 or 4 days. I don't think I showered.
Mitch, we should point out to tell people that before we started this Terrificon, how Mitch usually calls me up and has to throw all his problems on my back. And so, I mean, we've talked for a good while prior to this, but a lot of behind the scenes of the Comic-Con. Right, Mitchy?
It's not a happy-go-lucky world. Everyone thinks it's comic books, it's Comic-Cons, it's all fun and games. It's really a lot of work. You know, people think I work 3 days a year to make my money, but I tell you, it's a long 3 days, buddy.
And you got to deal with a lot of egos and a lot of stresses. Little things can turn into big things. People you trust, people you don't.
It's an army of people that makes that thing happen. And with every army, you're going to get some discontent and you're going to get some rabble-rousers. You know, but when you're the general, you got to take all of it. You got to make sure everything gets done. But you can't shoot anybody because it's against the law. You know that, right?
Yeah. And you're lucky, Mitch, because some of those bullets would have headed toward you.
I know. But anyway, let's not air our dirty comic book laundry in public. First off, we have to start off with our condolences to the Lees on the loss of Joan Lee, Stan Lee's lovely bride for 69 years. 69 years. Can you imagine that, John?
Oh, my gosh. That's... Can I? No. But did he? Yes, apparently so. But yeah, it was a sad thing. It's kind of like the ending of a legacy, you know?
Well, yeah, it's one of those things. She's 93 years old. I think that was how old she was when she passed away. And Stan is 94, going on 95. That's your whole life. I mean, literally. I mean, you know, not to be maudlin, not to start off this episode of the Power Cosmic on a downer, but it, like you said, it's the end of an era. That is something. I mean, I can always picture Stan, and then you always see Joni in the background, and he talks about how she was a dancer, and she was from England, and they met during the war, I believe, right?
Yeah, and she was actually married prior to him, and he kind of swooped her off her with the Stan Lee charm, swooped her off her feet, and took her from her marriage, and she ended up marrying him.
He made her a true believer. Enough said.
Yeah. And with Stan Lee's charm, I don't see how he could lose. But once again, she was 93, Stan's 95. I know people want them to live forever, but they lived a good life. I mean,
oh my God, I know people literally half their age that didn't make it. You know. So, yeah, I mean, that's a good run. God wish we could all get that far, right?
And so what's Mitchy's prediction on Stan? Like, where do you think Stan goes from here, Mitch?
You know, I got to admit, we talked about that. I mean, I don't know what drives the guy. I don't know. I know that Joni was a homebody. She really never did these conventions. And Stan, of course, is out there every weekend at a different show doing his promotion at the movies, at the Marvel premieres for Spider-Man and all that stuff. But, I mean, there's if it was me, I wouldn't be out there. I mean, I'd sit home and read a book and just take it easy for a couple of days. But I
Mitch,
don't know.
This is what I'm thinking. Like, I mean, as distraught as Stan might be, the last thing he's going to want is thousands upon thousands of fans, and each one is going to say, I'm sorry about your wife. I'm sorry about your wife. No matter where he goes now, he's going to hear that. And that's got to be even more of a burden and more of a turnoff. You think Stan shows up at show still? Does he still?
As long as he's got breath in him, I think he's going to keep doing it, but God bless him. I don't know how he does it. I don't know. I think he will, but there comes a time for everything to end sooner or later. I mean,
yeah, I'm just saying, like, just that's gotta be rough. And is it worth the money for Stan? I don't know.
I can't imagine what somebody at 94 years old would have need for money. You know?
Yeah. Well, the only
unless he's buying comic books, I have no idea what would one of the, because he's got to be well off, you know.
Oh, and Mitch, talk about your Stan Lee box that you were going to get in that. Talk about that little thing.
Yeah, Stan Lee box. It's one of these things. There's a lot of these boxes. My wife gets a box every month that comes in the mail, and they have clothes that they pick out for her, and she, you know, gets shoes and all that stuff. But, of course, being a nerd, I get these Marvel boxes, and every month or every other month you open it up, and inside there's a T-shirt and a variant comic book and a Funko Pop. I think Funko owns these things. I think that's all this is a way to get some of that plastic Beanie Baby crap out the door. But I signed up for the Stan Lee box. And the Stan Lee box, you get like a book by Stan. I got How to Draw the Marvel Way. I got a new version of that. I got a T-shirt. I'll get a Stan Lee little collectible. But this month, the package was supposed to be delivered and last Monday, or I got an email actually this past Monday, and it said due to circumstances, we're going to delay this month's box because we have to reorder the contents. And then if you look back at what they were supposed to do, it was supposed to be a tribute to the 70th wedding anniversary of Stan Lee and Joni, and obviously that's not happening. So I think they had to grab everything off the shelves really fast and correct that. So that's why there's a delay. So that's kind of like me and my Adam West postcards for the show that say the last appearance of Adam West. And we all know what happened to Mr. West. He passed away. And I've had people come up to me and take handfuls of the postcards. And I ask why. And they go, oh, because he's dead. I go, yeah, those are garbage. Go, no, these are collector's items. This was going to be his last ever appearance. I go, I guess. To me, it just seems like a bunch of garbage. But, you know, it is what it is. What do you think about that, John?
I mean, you know, Adam West's last show. And plus, your postcards are actually pretty cool. I will say the Chris Giarrusso Spider-Man one is absolutely the best of the best.
Yeah, the G-Man is my good luck charm. He's been doing the artwork on my flyers for 5 years now. So every time I produce a show, the first thing I do is I call Giarrusso up to come up with some artwork. And that's the secret. That's the magic charm. So if you want a $1 billion con, you have to go get Chris Giarrusso. So you should go out and get his book, G-Man, and Mini Marvels has been republished by Marvel.
And he's also, got to admit, probably one of the greatest guys in the industry, bar none.
Yeah, yeah, of course, besides you and I. All right, let's talk about it. We all went to the movies. I've seen it twice already. For my birthday, which was the other day, I'm 51 years old, true believers. And I saw Spider-Man with my kids and my wife. As per tradition, we go to a movie on my birthday. So I've seen it twice. What do you think, John? I'm going to start off with you before I give my review.
Okay, first off, we got to call it the Diversity Checklist Spider-Man. That's what I have. That's the first and foremost thing I have to say. Because did I like it? Absolutely. Was Tom Holland, that's his name?
Tom Holland, yeah.
Yeah, Spider-Man, the best Spider-Man ever, best casting, best Peter Parker, yes, bar none. But the pretentiousness of the diversity was a little hard for me to swallow, because I try to look past that stuff, I really do, but I mean, it was so in your face that, oh my God. And I'm not saying the casting wasn't really that bad, but it was just some of it you just got to roll your eyes at, because it was kind of like, okay, I'm going to go through with it. Like, case in point, I have to throw this out there. I think the worst of the worst, a lot of people are saying MJ, the Mary Jane girl, Zendaya, whatever her name is, was the worst because that turned out to be MJ. But I think I got to go with Flash Thompson. That kid who was Flash Thompson, I didn't get it. There was no intimidation by this guy. I did not get it. That was tough for me to swallow. Him being, I don't even know what he was, but like, it seemed to be friends with Peter, but like, I don't know. It wasn't Flash Thompson at all. You know,
he was more like Reggie in Archie, that little spoiled rich kid, you know?
Yeah, but he wasn't an athlete. Like, that's what I'm trying to get at. Like, he wasn't a white guy who Flash Thompson was. Okay, fine. But he wasn't even an athlete.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm part of like that, what are they, like the science club?
Yeah, they were in the, it's like a special school or something for really smart kids.
Yeah, but now let's go on. I liked Michael Keaton was phenomenal. His intensity was really good. Like, and I have to throw this out to you. And I think I said this to you when we were first talking about it. The sound of the wings, like that effect they use for like the spinning, you know, like the spinning, yeah, whatever they to make it fly. It had that screech, and I thought that was awesome. I was like, I don't know, it just made such a great, great sound. I was really into that. And I liked the little, you know, like Liz Allen, he was Liz Allen's daughter, and then he found out it was Peter Parker when he had that little, they were talking in the car. That kind of reminded, that was the whole Harry Osborn, Peter Parker. I don't know if you remember those in the early issues of Spider-Man with Romita. Do you remember those issues?
What do you mean?
You didn't know that when Harry Osborn found out that Peter Parker was Spider-Man. And I loved it. They would be at a party. I can't believe you don't know these issues. I can't remember the exact issues, but any Spider-Man fan will know this. This is like maybe in the 80s or the 70s. I'm not talking about the year, but in the number of issues. That Harry Osborn knew who Spider-Man was. And then there was a time when they went to like the parties and stuff. Like he would be on Parker and he'd be punching him in the stomach. He's like, "Hey, Peter!" Like, you know, and it was so good. And he knew Peter was at such a disadvantageous position. I don't know if you don't
Wait,
know
are you
him
talking yet. About after his father died and he found out that he was Spider-Man?
Yeah, this was before Spider-Man died. I mean, the Green Goblin died in the comic book.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
Not the way you're remembering it, no.
Mitch, you want it back?
No, I'm just, when are we talking about? Because I remember...
These are in the gotta be the late 60s. The late 60s.
Wait, before the drug issues?
It's something that, and his schizophrenia, like that's how it was explained, he couldn't remember. I'm going to find these issues and I'm going to tell you.
All right, this is news to me. I remember once he finds out, he starts to torture Spider-Man with, like, you know, oh, you know, there's leaving secrets. I know your secret. But I don't remember what you're talking about.
Yeah, oh, my God, that's one of the best things. I'm gonna find it right now. I'm going through my essentials as we speak, and I'm going to get this for you so I can actually show you.
All right. Well, you know, it's news to me.
Okay. But to keep going on about it, though, I thought it was fantastic. But I'm going to say this, Mitch, and I don't know if you're going to Wonder Woman better.
Ugh.
I loved the tribute to Ditko, like when he was trapped under the all that machinery, and that was great. And how he got
that was right from Spider-Man issue 33.
Yeah, but I mean, it was great how they put that in there, and you got to see like the metal. You know, like the same metal that was in the comic. But The Shocker guys, that was kind of tough for me. Like, come on, the Shocker's a great character. You know, that was kind of rough. But overall, I'm going to see it again. I thought it was fun. Spider-Man was awesome, fooled around enough. I loved it, Mitch. I loved it. I give it an A. I give it 5 go-go checks. I still give it 5 go-go checks.
All right, well, here we go.
It wasn't better. Like I said, it wasn't better than Wonder Woman, and it definitely was not better than Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
No. All right, so I go last week. Just before the movie starts, I'm sitting next to Jerry Ordway and Mike Gold, who was former editor at DC Comics. Literally seconds before the movie starts, he goes, "Oh, look what happened. Joni Lee died, Stan Lee's wife." And then the movie starts. So I'm already like, well, you just kind of take the wind out of my sails, you know? I'm like, well, now I'm feeling bad for Stan as the movie's starting. So the movie starts, and then, you know, I love the music. It started off with the old Spider-Man song that you and I struggled to sing last week that we couldn't. So that was perfect. I mean, that's so good. A full orchestra playing the Spider-Man song. And then, you know, when he's trying to do the right thing, he's, you know, finding a bike thief, he's helping a lady with directions, all that nerdy stuff. I'm like, that's perfect because, you know, he was the whole way they played it, that he was trying to be a big superhero and the guys didn't want him. Like the Avengers were like, yeah, that's nice. Go home. All that was cool. John Favreau's Happy Hogan, perfect casting. Loved seeing him.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they're all good. And Michael Keaton, fantastic when he threatens Peter, when he finds out who he is. Spoiler alert. All that's good. But I got to tell you, I love the movie. I think it was one of the most exciting Spider-Man movies. It was a lot of fun. I'm laughing out loud. Great casting. There was a tie-in for the Howling Commandos in there with the principal. He was one of Captain America's guys, if you noticed that one. So there's a lot of cool stuff. But I got to tell you, that action sequence at the very end, I saw in IMAX with the giant screen, and I was right up front when they're fighting on that Avengers airplane and they're trying to stop the Vulture. I don't know if I sat too close to the screen or it was too dark or there was too many flashing lights going on, but I swear to God, I had to look away from the screen for a little bit because I was getting a headache because it was like being in an amusement park ride, you know? It was just too much flashing. But that was my only big problem with it. I liked Mary Jane. I liked Aunt May. I didn't like Mary Jane, actually, because she wasn't the redheaded hot bombshell that we all know. I didn't like that at all.
That's who she's supposed to be, Mitch.
She's supposed to be that, but she was actually the character Michelle. I believe her name is Michelle Johnson from the Ultimate Universe.
I wouldn't know about that. That makes
Well, you know what I caught on the second viewing? The reason why I know it's more of the Ultimate Universe is because the name Bagley was on one of the sides of the building. I caught that on the second time. So I thought of Mark Bagley and the Ultimate Spider-Man comic book that ran. So that's why I think a lot of that was supposed to be that world, you know? Because he was a teenager. What?
Holland did kind of remind me of the Ultimate Spider-Man, those ones that Bendis was doing and that they were doing at the beginning. You know, when they were relaunched.
Because Aunt May was much younger in those books. Not as young as Marissa Tomei, but she was a lot younger. And Uncle Ben was more of a hippie, if you remember that. He had a ponytail. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So I think that's what they were trying to do. And there was reference to Miles Morales, who became Spider-Man in the Ultimate Universe, and they actually brought him over to the regular Marvel 616 universe because his uncle was the Prowler, and that was the character that what you call was played by Danny Glover. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, it's got a lot. The best part of the movie was the Captain America little self-help bits, you know?
Yeah, that was when they were in detention and stuff.
Yeah. And then when he showed up at the end of the movie, too.
Yeah, but I have to admit, like, there was something, not that something was missing. I don't know. It just didn't impact me the way he was in Civil War. I don't know what it was.
Did you notice the big mistake there with the Civil War thing? Remember at the end of the movie in the Civil War, he goes home and he's got a black eye. And his aunt gives him a steak to put on it to soften up the black and blue. And she goes, "Where'd you get that?" He said, "Oh, a guy named Steve hit me."
Oh, yeah.
But he didn't have a black and blue when he was coming back from the fight when they're in the limousine recording. So he didn't have a black eye. Little stuff. I caught that. Jerry said that's just being hair splitting. Not a big deal.
I mean, you know, like I said, overall, I loved it. It was great to get Spider-Man back on his feet, but it didn't do as well as you thought, though, Mitch.
No, I originally when we were talking, I was going to tell you $130 million, and you were like, ah, you're crazy. It's going to make all that money. But I conceded. I think I went up to $156 million, and it only brought in $123 million, I think it did. So
yeah.
It wasn't as actually the Spider-Man 3 movie with Venom made more money than this one did, and that was not a good movie. With the remember that one with the Sandman and Venom and Tobey Maguire?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Okay, now let me ask you why do you think that, Mitch?
I think people are getting burned out because you know how many superhero movies there are this year? There's like 6.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, and that's what I said. I think just because it's just a little too many.
I've seen Logan, which was good. I saw Wonder Woman, which I didn't like.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2,
which was really good. I liked that one. Now I saw Spider-Man. Now I still have to go see Thor. Then I have to go see the Justice League. That's 6 comic book movies. And I'm probably forgetting somebody in there, too. I don't even know. So that's a lot of movies. I mean, some people don't even go see 6 movies in a year, let alone 6 comic book movies.
Well, I think there's just so many of them, but I think that maybe 3 a year. And now, hey, I'm just throwing that number out there, and I know the studio execs aren't going to listen to me. They're going to tell me to piss off. We don't care. But I think maybe 3 a year would be better, because just having this many, you kind of get... How big the fight? How the hero's going to win?
Oh yeah, you can't keep topping yourself, you know.
Yeah, right. And you feel like like I said, I think because of Guardians of the Galaxy 2, you know, that was so fun, so over the top. And Wonder Woman was kind of serious and it had its moments. Now here comes Spider-Man. That was kind of both of those movies. You have the seriousness, you have the over the topness, you had the, and it was kind of like. I just was like, I'm still full from the other stuff, you know? And Logan was the serious.
Next year, it's going to be worse. Next year, you have, not worse, but we don't know, but it's going to be Black Panther in February. Infinity War is in May. And then I think it's Ant-Man and the Wasp, which is next October. So that's 3 right there. And I don't know what else you got coming out next year.
Is any of the...
Oh, then the new the X-Men movies come out next year.
Oh, yeah. You can probably have Deadpool 2 is going to be
Deadpool
out.
Deadpool 2 comes out next year. The New Mutants comes out next year. They already started casting that. On TV, we have the Inhumans. We have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We have 4 different DC shows, or maybe 5. I know you got Gotham, The Flash, Arrow, Legends.
I'm thinking to go against the grain, what would be a good move?
What?
Now, they're going to keep pumping out these superhero movies forever, but how about this? How about a serious, we haven't had one in a long time, how about a serious Western with, like, some of those Marvel Western, like a serious Western? Wouldn't that be kind of cool?
They have that Jonah Hex movie, Bond, remember?
But that's what I'm saying. They still glorify it. They didn't make it, but like have like an old school without any of like the dramatics, like an old school, and you could use like the Rawhide Kid or whatever it may be, but you could make something, but it would be totally against the grain. If they don't, the thing is when they did, I think if they made a Jonah Hex movie, but they made it like think of like the spaghetti Western.
Well, and you got to look at, not all these movies are doing well, okay? The Mummy came out, Tom Cruise, bombed here in the U.S. Transformers came out 2-3 weeks ago, didn't do well, bombed. One coming out next week that's based on a comic called Valerian, or some kind of weird French graphic novel. That's got stink bomb written all over the damn thing. I hope I don't have to review that for the radio, because I can't stand sitting through a bad movie. What else? Oh, there's... Wait. What's this one with Charlize Theron, the blonde or something?
Atomic Girl?
Atomic Blonde is coming. That's another
Atomic
one.
Atomic Blonde. Yeah.
That's a bomb. And then it's
was that an independent comic? I think I remember seeing that.
Who?
Wasn't Atomic Blonde, wasn't that a comic
that book? That was a comic book too, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, and then you got the Secret Service movie, that's a comic book graphic novel by Mark Millar. That's coming out, Kingsman 2. There's just, I mean, I know I'm sick today, so I'm not too up about it, but just talking about a lot of this stuff, it's exhausting, you know? There's just, we waited. You know, like they say, be careful what you wish for because you just might get it. We waited so long for a world where we could just, imagine if we just got one great Batman movie, we would have been happy. We would have talked about that movie for years if there was one great Batman movie. That's it. Now we have 6 different comic book movies a year. That's just nuts. Right?
And they're all trying to top the other. The effects are unbelievable. So you're getting so much like stimulation.
There's
like,
nothing nothing on screen now that we have computer graphics that can't be done. So your imagination, I mean, I'm not wowed by any big special effect anymore. It's just a big cartoon.
It's like we're like Uncle Scrooge with his all that gold, and he's just diving in the gold, and it's just like, what more does he need? Like, you know?
Yeah.
No, that's a good way of putting it, because it's almost like we're at systems overload. It's kind of like, you know, like, you're waiting for that, all that food, and when there's so much food, you're so filled on food, you don't want to see food anymore.
Trust me, as a guy who fills himself on a lot of food, I know exactly what we've done. We've loosened our pants, and we're sitting on the couch, and we're about to take a nap. That's what's happening.
Yeah, and it's like, oh my God. And I actually think about this, what I just said earlier. I would have never said this 10-20 years ago. Like, if you told me that there were going to be 6 unbelievable superhero movies in a year, and right, I would have been like, you're kidding. I would have been, oh my God, kill me now. But now that it's actually happened, I'm saying, a little too much. I don't know.
I know, right?
But that's what hurt me with Spider-Man. I know it's more of a psychological thing than actually the movie not being as good as it was, but it was just me kind of being like, well, here's another one. Like, it's just like, I knew it was good. It was good. It was fantastic. But it was also like, all right, like, I'm still full on Wonder Woman.
Well, maybe that's why the people weren't turning out in droves, because they're tired of it, you know?
Okay, well, Mitch, let me ask you this.
What's that?
If the superhero genre starts collapsing with the con genre, well, it's always going to be there. It's always going to have its core audience. We know that. But where does Hollywood go now, Mitch? Where does it go?
Well, they've already done young adult movies to death with Twilight and Divergent and all those things that I don't watch. They've already done comedies like Will Ferrell movies. They're the same movie with a different title. They've done police movies. They've remade old TV shows to death. Baywatch, 21 Jump Street, Miami Vice, Starsky and Hutch. They've done that. Hollywood is not a place for original thinking. It's just a place where they give you the same thing in a different flavor. It's the Baskin Robbins of popular culture. I don't know. I don't think Westerns is a place to start, because, to be honest with you, I'm bored out of my mind when I see a Western. There's a couple I like, but in the very far and few between.
I mean, but it's like
animated movies. CGI has kind of wiped that away, you know.
Yeah, but what's funny is like even like this new millennium, like of just such overindulgence, over saturation. Oh, like music's gone. It's just this. You know, like I said, like the comics was like the last untouched thing, and now it's becoming processed like everything else. And like I said, hey, I love it. I'm happy that it's out there, and I can watch this with my daughter. But you know what I find myself doing, Mitch? I know it's going to sound funny. I find myself going back, like when I'm doing my work at my house and I'm doing, like, you know, I'm filing comics, pricing stuff. I'll put on the old cartoons, like let's just say, like, the Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, or even those Hanna-Barbera ones when it was so simple. And I watch those, and I'm kind of, like, content, because it's almost like it's too much over here. I got to go back to when I was a kid, when this stuff was
I understand exactly what you're saying, because those were the ones that we relished and treasured because, like I said, we didn't have a lot. So maybe that's why they mean more to you now, because just like you should know when people come to your booth at the Rain and Flea Market every Sunday, booth A89 and 90, that they're looking for stuff they had. I know I do. I would kill right now to go have some of the toys I had as a kid. And that's because I'm going to sit on the floor and play with them because they'd lock me up. I'm not going to lay on the floor and play Matchbox and Hot Wheels cars with my cousin anymore. Those days are long gone. But there's something about the simplicity of it. You know, like when you're a kid, you know how it says collect them all, and the mental OCD of the collector, you want to collect them all, but you can't. So the few that you have, you put on a higher, pedestal, because those are the few that you have. You don't have all the money in the world. You can't buy every toy you see. You can't buy every comic book. So you treasure the ones you do have. Now we have the opportunity to get everything, but we don't want it.
Mitch, that's a good thing, because when we were kids, let's just say we looked at the back of the Mego box,
right?
We could be like, oh my God, I wish I could get only this, but we never did. You only got, like, your parents only got...
I got most of them. I know. My mom was very generous.
I only got a few of them. But what I'm saying is, today, kids have access to get everything, and they're spoiled as...
Oh, yeah.
And they get everything. And, like, but I'm just saying, like, it was almost like a dream to get all of them. When they said collect them all, you never really got them all.
No, right? But those three little words, collect them all, are what's driven us to do all the things we've done, because we want to collect them all. You know, it's like the impossible dream. We're trying to fulfill it. And now you're right. Now we have the opportunity. You could collect them all.
No, but the end is also access, because of the internet, like that. You can get them online. You can get them on, like, you know, kids. You can get them on your phone. All this stuff. It's so easy to get that stuff. Where we just knew what was. Maybe we see a commercial and we dream about it, and then or we go to whatever was in the store that day, or you go to a friend's house and you're like, where did you get that? I'll never forget. I went to this kid. His name was Danny Lang. I had the Hulk Rage Cage, but remember how they made a thing one? I never knew they made a thing one, because it was never...
Oh, they did?
Yeah. See, it was called the Thing Rock Trap. But I remember going to his house, and he's like, hey, did you... And I see on his shelf, they're playing, and I'm like, what is that? And he goes, oh, it's the Thing Rock Trap. And I'm like, I literally, to this day, I've never forgotten it. Yeah, I have one today, because I could have only imagined of playing the Hulk fighting the Thing with that. But it was that kind of... just something that you never knew. And today, kids know everything. Oh, yeah, this one, this is the variant. At such a young age, I used to teach grammar school. I would be talking to third graders and fourth graders, like, yeah, this is the variant, and this is the one. Like, there's just so much of an overindulgence of that stuff. It's like, I don't know, the innocence of it is lost. And that's what I find out in the movies, too. Like, the innocence of it is kind of lost. And it's almost like, I don't know, maybe it's like the dream is dead. Does that make any sense, Mitch?
No, the dream has become a nightmare. You know, it's like, it's too much. It's like you get your three wishes, and on the third wish, you wish to have never-ending wishes. So it takes away from all the stuff, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You know, you hear about those stories of people who win the lottery, and in a year they're bankrupt and they're out of their mind.
Oh yeah, yeah, that happens all the time.
They couldn't handle it all. They couldn't handle that, and that's what everybody wants. But it's like, if you get that, it's like you just said, you know, you might get what you wish for, but it might not turn into what you want it to be. And that's what makes me a little sad, you know. And that's what I got with Spider-Man. I couldn't believe it. I'm watching Spider-Man. I swear to God, the movie that I wanted to see more than anything, and it's better than any of the other ones, but I'm watching it and I'm like, why isn't this affecting me?
Exactly. Like, exactly.
You know, why isn't it hitting my soul the way it should be? And that's why I say Wonder Woman was a little bit better. Was it better? I don't know. But in my head, because Spider-Man let me down a little bit, because I got it. I don't know. It's maybe because I got it. And it was like, I don't know, Mitch. It was.
Are we upset by this, Johnny?
No, but you know, it's funny. I'm almost tearing up a little bit because I'm thinking about
maybe
it.
Maybe little Johnny's growing up.
Yeah, and he doesn't want to. Like I look at my Stretch Hulk and stuff, and it's like that. Just how innocent and how simple that toy was, and like that would never make it into today's world. Like, you know, and it's like. I don't know. Maybe being a dealer too, Mitch, that I've gotten all the toys I've ever wanted. Oh, and talking about innocence, I got a collection yesterday. I got a bunch of Captain Actions. Now, they were loose Captain Actions from 1966, but I got a Buck Rogers, I got a Lone Ranger, and I got an Aquaman with all the fixings. I don't know if you've seen those.
No,
but, they'll be on sale at my booth this weekend. But I just love how simple it was. Like, you know, how you dress Captain Action in a suit,
yep.
But like the pistols in the Buck Rogers one is kind of rare. But and looking at the Lone Ranger, and I said, nobody gives a crap about the Lone Ranger anymore. He was such a great character. Like, and just like how simple that it was. Just you dress this figure up into like a suit. And it's like, and it didn't do well. I don't know if you remember, they released.
Oh, Captain I had the Lone. Are you talking about the Lone Ranger toys? I had those. With
but they re-released the Captain Action a few years ago in the mid 2000s, and it didn't do well because people don't care about dressing up your figure in another, like in a suit, because it doesn't shoot blasters or it doesn't light up or doesn't fly. I mean, I knew it was going to be doomed to failure. And they made a lot of new Captain Actions. They made a Thor, they made a Kato, you know, they made an Iron Man. And for an older person, it looked cool. But for a younger kid, I knew it, that's why it didn't work. It was made for the older collector, and it just didn't work. But I mean, what we're talking about, looking at simpler times, and when you look at that, what kid who dressed their Captain Action up as the Spider-Man, like, there was never a Spider-Man figure before that. There was never a Spider-Man toy, and that was, like, that must have been huge. And
well, today you're looking at it. I think you hit the nail on the head. This has been a very down episode of the Power Cosmic. This is when...
Well, it's not really down, but it's kind of like maybe the end of innocence. That's what, you
the
know?
Power the Cosmic grows up.
The virginity is gone. Like, you wait your whole life to be touched by a woman... You do it, and then you do it, and do it, and do it, and then it's like, eh, it's just another woman.
I'm
like,
still waiting, John. I'm still waiting. I had to go feed my dog there, and obviously I have two kids, so I've already had that experience at least twice.
But the best thing that makes me happy with this is I get to live it with my daughter. Like, when to be honest with you, going to see Wonder Woman with my daughter, that's what meant more to me than actually seeing Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah, I do that. I look over at my kids and watch the movie to see what it looks like.
Unfortunately, they may not love it as much as we did, but it's still fun to actually interact with them through that, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, and Mitch, let me throw this out really quick because I wanted a big advertisement. As if you know or you don't know, if anybody out there collects... Alter Ego, Roy Thomas's Alter Ego. My daughter will have her first published work. Roy Thomas hired her for issue 149. It's a tribute to Gil Kane, and a Gil Kane issue. And my daughter's first published work will be in there, and it'll be coming out on October 18th of this year. And I would hope for everybody to go to your comic store and pick that up, because my daughter has a drawing, and I think you'll know who it is and what it is when you see it. I don't want to throw any spoilers out there, but that's a big deal for me. And, Mitch, we got to throw this out, too. Our buddy Reed Tucker's new book, Slugfest, is coming out. It's being released to bookstores. It'll be on Amazon Kindle, all over the country. It'll be called Slugfest. Behind the scenes of Marvel and DC, that new comic novel will be coming in. And the reason why I'm also advertising this is because John Cimino made the cut. I'm in that book, as well as Roy Thomas and everybody else. Joe St. Pierre, I don't know if he's in it or not, but I know he was another person we'd interviewed. So
will it be on the Book of the Month Club?
Yeah, maybe it will, but check that out. It's called Slugfest by Reed Tucker. He writes for Vogue, Time, New York Post, and he was a former New York Times bestseller. He did something on basketball a few years ago, a book. But and Ann Reed, it will be at Terrificon with me. He'll be there with at my booth and with Roy and hanging out with us.
Well, I know I'll be there, Johnny, if I could survive.
Yeah. And Mitch, I hope you have some fun. Because little Mitchie couldn't dream of running a Comic-Con. But when Mitch, when we see Mitchie, Mitchie is not easy to talk to at a Comic-Con.
No. Heavy is the crown the Nerd King wears.
Heavy is the crown. Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Yes. So
check those out.
I don't know, Johnny. All right. Well, this has been a very somber episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast. And I'm sorry for our listeners. I did happen to meet Mr. Scott Martin this weekend in the flesh once again over at the Garden State Comic
Fest.
Yes, he presented me with a birthday present. Now I own both copies of the Spider-Man wedding cover. There you go, the variant, the Peter Parker and the Spider-Man one. We gave him, for his troubles, a brand new Terrificon t-shirt. I did read the oddest comment the other day. Somebody reviewed our show, and they said I sound a lot like Rocket Raccoon. I don't know what the hell that means.
On the Power Cosmic,
yeah. Then I went back and started listening. I go, I do? I don't know where the hell that's coming from. So, it depends on the morning. Like today, my throat's a little messed up, so you're getting the gravelly voice. But I never have. You ever thought that I sounded like Rocket Raccoon?
Rocket? No, not at all. No, you could be a little annoying. Your voice can be annoying, yes, but like not like.
Bradley Cooper. I don't know. I'm Bradley Cooper. Who knew?
But Mitch, we have to at least throw like our buddy Scott Martin there, who I haven't met yet, and I'm sure I'm going to meet at Terrificon. I'm waiting for the time that he has your face tattooed on one shoulder and mine on the other.
Oh my God. He'll have to get
some good people out that have really come in and has embraced us through the Power Cosmic.
Yeah. A lot of shut-ins are very happy to hear us every week. That's it. I'm just gonna wrap this one up. How do we say this one? This has got to be the low point of the Power Cosmic because Uncle Mitchie's not on it.
We'll have to have Scott Mark and say our thing, and we'll play it. And that's that. Boom.
That's that. And that is that. This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the Terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.